When you came to faith in Jesus Christ, I don't think you thought, you know what, I just want to live a ho-hum life for Christ. If you genuinely came to faith in Jesus Christ, I believe you may be able to recollect the reality of where your heart was when you came, thankful for forgiveness and willing to do whatever He wanted. That's what happens.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Arnafia in Louisiana. I think it's very beautiful. I love the way he speaks and everything. Well, Arnafia, thank you so much for your encouraging words, and we're so thankful that the Lord gives us the privilege to share His word on the radio. And I just wanted to thank all of our listeners who interact with this ministry, whether it's via email, a letter, or a phone conversation. And I want to praise God for all of you who support this ministry with your prayers and financial support. There's no way we can continue without the Lord doing that through you. And so we are so thankful for your partnership with us in Equipping the Saints.
Greg, how are we to prepare for today's teaching?
Well, Dave, since the beginning of creation, mankind has been on an unstoppable quest for joy and happiness. And even though the world offers myriads of so-called solutions for obtaining happiness and satisfaction, none of these solutions actually bring lasting joy. And even among Christians, a genuine life of satisfaction in the Lord is a scarcity these days. But God's will is very clear concerning where true joy originates. So with that in mind, I'd invite you to turn with us to Philippians chapter 2 as we look at verses 17 and 18.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, when the world looks at Christians who are truly sold out for Christ, they often see from their perspective a wasted life. A life that's full of suffering, a life full of difficulty, a life spent focused on the things of Christ rather than the fun things of this earth. A waste of money, a waste of time in church, waste of time singing, whatever it might be. A waste of time in Bible studies, a waste of time serving other believers. And there are so many things I could share that the world might look at true believers who are sought to Christ and say, wow, these guys are wasting their lives. And folks, if what the non-believers thought would be absolutely true if it were not for the Word of God being true. You see, God's Word gives us the big picture, gives us the truth of what is really going on. You see, we know from God's Word that this life is not it. It's temporal. That there are the sufferings for the glories to follow. That there is the cross before the crown. There are the temporal sorrow, even with joy, but everlasting joy. And although we know this, we still must make the day-to-day decision as believers to choose to apply these truths by faith to how we spend our lives. The world would say you spent your life on foolishness, but the scriptures reveal it's exactly the opposite. If we choose to live our lives for Christ alone, yes, we may have some sorrow and difficulty and temporal sufferings, but there are, as we've seen and will see, the eternal glories to follow. And yet, as believers, we can choose to live a little bit for the Lord or a lot for the Lord. And if we choose to live a little for the Lord, we will receive little in eternity. But if we choose to live in light of the temporal realities, in light of eternity, to be obedient and follow Christ, then and only then will we experience true joy in this life and exceeding everlasting joy in the one to come. So with this in mind, and I've already given part of it away, how can we find true joy? Today we're going to look at Paul's example of a life well spent. And we're going to see that true joy is found in giving our lives over to Christ for one another, just as Christ did for us. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, and you have in the New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. And we are in our study of the book of Philippians, and it is about 62 A.D., And the Apostle Paul is writing the Philippian church, those believers, those saints, including overseers and deacons. And he is under house arrest in Rome, and he is about to go before Caesar. And the physical reality is that he could live or die. He is very close to the Philippians. 10 years before, he had shared the gospel, and the church began out of the truth of Christ concerning what he did for us on the cross. And the church in Philippi began. And Paul revealed in the earlier portion of this letter his thankfulness for God's work in true believers. His thankfulness. And within that, that God had worked in their lives and he would definitely complete the work that he began, that he started. And then he prayed for these believers that the love of Christ would abound in true knowledge and all discernment, that they would approve the excellent things. They'd make right choices in Christ that would glorify God. And Paul shared with the dear Philippians his current circumstances, that his imprisonment has turned out for the greater progress and spread of the gospel, and so he rejoiced. And he knew that Christ, no matter what happened, would be magnified in his life, whether he lived or died. To live as Christ, to die as gain. And at this point, he turned to the Philippian circumstances in the end of chapter 1 and encouraged them to walk as heavenly citizens, worthy of the gospel of Christ, in a manner worthy, to stand firm and strive together against the opposition, knowing that it is a sign, and not being afraid that it's a sign that those who oppose Christ and thus his people are on their way to destruction, and those in Christ are on their way to glory. And then we saw how to maintain unity in the body of Christ by thinking like Christ, and how that looks in practice. That we're to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but we're to regard others as supreme above ourselves. We're to be scoping out ways to look to regard them as more important. And then we saw how this can only be done. It's only when the believer in Christ manifests the mind of Christ revealed in the Word of God. It's only when we think like Christ, have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, we can consider others as more important than ourselves. And we see the perfect example of selfless humility. Christ, who took on human flesh, he became a servant. And he was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him that name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord. And then we saw the implications for every true believer in chapter 2, that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And we saw in context the idea of working out speaks of obedience in the context of a real relationship with Jesus, where his word is working in our hearts. We are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We are to respect and fear the Lord and fear the prospect of sinning against him and walk differently than we did before we were saved. Because God is working in us, we are to work out what he is working in us. You see, true faith will work. And then we saw in the last few weeks that the first direct application for the body of Christ was to do everything without, or all things without, grumbling or complaining or disputing and arguing. Everything, not one area in our lives are we given the freedom as believers to grumble and complain, to dispute and argue. And we saw the horrible examples from the Old Testament that are instruction for us that we would not crave evil things. And we saw the purpose, the temporal purpose, because we shine as lights in a dark world. And we saw that eternal purpose, that as we hold fast the word of God, not complaining and arguing, renewing our hearts and minds, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, that when we do this by faith, obeying him, it's going to result in eternal glory for Christ. And the Apostle Paul wanted to make sure that his work in sharing the word with the Philippians would not be in vain. But on that day, the day of Christ, he would be able to glory and praise God for what God had done through him. You see, and I believe it's every true shepherd's desire that you don't just listen and walk away, but that your hearts are changed and that you become more like Christ, and therefore you will glorify him even more for eternity. And in that day, it will actually show where your heart really was, whether the preaching and teaching was in vain or not. And Paul didn't want that to happen. It's from this point we come to our passage where we're going to see some examples of true, genuine faith, examples of the mind of Christ, examples of true believers that we should follow. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We don't follow man for man's sake. We follow those who are sold out to Christ, and we look at their examples of faith in Jesus, and we are to mimic and imitate those truths as we trust Jesus. So would you turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 17 and 18. Now, I want to read back to verse 12 up to our passage where we are, because it's all connected together, as I've shared in the last few weeks. Verse 12 of chapter 2. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed. Hey, you're true believers. You're obeying God. Not perfectly, but you obey, right? Believers obey the Lord. They've always been, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. You're luminaries, that's the term, stars in a sense. You shine on this earth like the stars shine in heaven. There's such a difference between Christ's righteousness in you versus the wickedness of those who are in darkness. And he says here, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. Tremendous reality. We saw that last week. Believers, hold fast the word in your hearts. Let it change your behavior. Let it change your attitude so that Christ will be glorified and it will show on that day when God judges believers, not for sin, but for their deeds in the body. And then we have our passage. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, Paul says, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. And you too, I urge you to rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Joy instead of complaining, joy instead of arguing, rejoicing over what God is doing rather than complaining over what you think is happening in your life. So we have the reality here of a tremendous passage. Now, I think when people come to faith in Jesus Christ, they don't think in that moment, hey, I want to live a mediocre life for Christ. When you came to faith in Jesus Christ, I don't think you thought, you know what, I just want to live a ho-hum life for Christ. If you genuinely came to faith in Jesus Christ, I believe you may be able to recollect the reality of where your heart was when you came, thankful for forgiveness and willing to do whatever he wanted. That's what happens. But our hearts get dulled by our own desires. Our hearts get dulled. And today, I believe some of you are going to be challenged to examine your heart priorities, and all of us will. And today might just be the day that you recognize your life is not fully given over to Christ. And my hope and prayer is that the Lord might use his word to move your heart so that you will choose to live a life well spent, completely devoted to Christ. So with that in mind, let's look at Paul's example of a man who was such. He says here in verse 17, we're going to see Paul willingly poured out. The words we're going to see is spendomai. He spent his life. I don't know if the Greek lines up or not, but it sure sounds like it, right? He spent his life completely for Christ. He poured it out. Look at verse 17. But even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, that's the Philippians, I, that's Paul, rejoice and share my joy with you all. It sounds like a small passage that would be done pretty quick, but there is just some tremendous truth in here that I want to point out. We're going to see that Paul had yielded his life to Christ completely, to obediently serve him. Now let's make some observations about our passage that will help us understand what Paul is saying in this context. Notice verse 17 starts with the word but. It signifies a contrast. And actually in Greek, there are multiple words that are translated into English, but at times. This one, Allah, is one of the most intense forms of a contrast. It's often translated, but rather. And it can speak of a contrast, a difference, or a limitation to what has just been said. Contrast, difference, or limitation. And so the idea is, rather than having toiled in vain, if the Philippians did not hold fast the word, but rather, or nevertheless, from that hypothetical possibility, Paul moves to the reality of where he is now. And we're going to see that reality and how that will presently affect the Philippians in regards to their joy. But even if I am being poured out, verse 17, as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Now, this phrase, being poured out as a drink offering, is one word in Greek. I already mentioned it. It's spendo. It comes from the Greek word spendo or spendomai. Even if I'm currently being poured out, ongoing, there's an ongoing pouring of me out, in a sense. He's using an illustration, as we'll see. Now, the word spendo spoke of literally pouring out as of liquids, pouring out liquids. And if I pour something out, there's a process of it being poured out, and there's a process of it having completely been poured out, right? There's two parts to that. And the picture Paul is painting for these Philippians is one in which the interpreters have grasped. And you'll see they use the word drink offering here. They understand he's using an illustration of an Old Testament portion of the sacrifices. More specifically, in the Old Testament sacrificial system, which all pointed to Christ, he's speaking of this process of this burnt offering in which they would have an unblemished animal, one that God prescribed, and they would burn it up completely, and they would add a grain offering. And at the end, they would pour wine over that burnt offering that's complete, and it would vaporize and go up in smoke, and it would be a soothing aroma to the Lord. It was a picture. And the offering was to be completely burned with nothing left, total sacrifice. And the icing on the cake was that wine poured on there that vaporized and the aroma went up before the Lord. That's the illustration that the Apostle Paul is talking about here. He's talking about a sacrifice and all the parts of it. And he's going to say basically, Philippians, you're the sacrifice. I'm just the icing on the cake to what you are doing in Christ. We're going to see a lot of humility in that statement. So here we have Paul speaking of himself as the finishing touch. But certainly it pictured the reality of what Christ would do, completely giving his body for us, completely. And then finishing the job, allowing himself to be delivered up by godless men according to God's predetermined plan, dying for our sins. It is finished. Fragrant aroma to God, what Christ did for us, dying for our sins, a sacrifice. So then Paul is saying here, back in our passage, in contrast to the eternal possibility of running in vain, I preached the word, you didn't respond, you didn't hold it tight, and we'll see that in the day of Christ. May not show now, we'll see it then. In contrast to that hypothetical possibility, he says he is currently, in a reality, in the process of being poured out as a drink offering. And he's going to say it's on top of the sacrifice and service of your faith. You're the sacrifice, and I'm the drink offering. We're doing this together. It's the same offering. Now, what's interesting here in our translations, we have the term if. If you look at that, he says, but even if I'm being poured out. And in Greek, there are different clauses. There are if statements. And if the if statement's with a certain type of verb, it's if and maybe or if and possibly, whatever it might be. Here it's if and yes, it is true. Some translations will translate it since. Since I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice of your service of faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Now you say, wait a second, I know the Bible here and I know this drink offering, that's probably speaking of his death, right? This is 62 AD and yet he didn't die till after 64 AD. We know around 64 AD, I know that he talks about his being poured out later on in 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is at the end of Paul's life, a couple years later than this letter here. And he says in chapter 4, verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. It's like at that final part of the drink offering. It's being poured, it's all done, and poof, the offering is done, fragrant aroma. He's saying, that's my life, it's about done. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Here in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, he is speaking of his impending death, that it's about to be done. The glass is about to be completely poured out. So the Apostle Paul is speaking of that here. But back in our passage was a couple years earlier. So was Paul thinking he would die immediately? Well, we see earlier in the passage, he did mention that he was going to go before Caesar, basically implied that. He said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And it would be much better to go with Christ, chapter 1. The implication is the possibility of Caesar killing him back at this point was possible. But remember, Paul had some insight from the Lord that he wasn't going to die yet. Not as we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look back in Philippians chapter 1, and I want to read for you. Philippians 1 verse 19. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I shall not be put to shame in anything. This is the middle of verse 20. But that with all boldness Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. See, he sold out for Christ. And I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Then notice what he says in verse 25. And convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. He's saying, although I'm about at the point of death, inspired by the Spirit, he doesn't believe he's going to die yet. So what's this drink offering then if it doesn't speaking of his death? Well, certainly, I believe it speaks of the idea of the sacrifice and the unity in which the Philippian service and Paul's service are together. It certainly is speaking he's towards the end, but it's not completely poured out. He's saying, I'm being poured out. He knew he wasn't going to die yet, and when he was going to die, he said, this is it, now it's happening, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So what is he saying? He's not going to die right away, but he uses this term drink offering. Our passage helps us understand it. Back to our passage, chapter 2, verse 17. But even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. He likens the Philippians to the real sacrifice, that burnt offering, and his as that finishing touch. That's the point here. What Paul is doing is a finishing touch to what the Philippians are doing. They're the ones doing the ministry, the overseers and the deacons, the saints at Philippi. Paul had equipped them, and they were ministering, they were serving Christ, and they were suffering, they were sacrificing and serving. And his interaction with them in a humble way, he sees it just as that finishing touch. Very humble from the Apostle Paul. He doesn't say, hey, I did it all, you're all because of me, does he? He doesn't say that at all. I'm the finishing touch on your sacrifice and your service of faith. So with that in mind, let's take a look at this idea of sacrifice and service, because Paul certainly sacrificed and he certainly served, and the Philippians were certainly doing that, weren't they? And Paul obediently served Christ and his body, the body of Christ. You see, Paul had a lot to give up from the world's standpoint before he came to Christ. Saul, the Pharisee, he had a lot to give up. If you look at chapter 3 of Philippians, turn to chapter 3. He had a lot of stuff. I mean, he was quite a guy as a Pharisee in a sense. He had a lot of power. He had a lot of influence. You know what comes with power and influence? Pride.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you made a very important point in your message today, and as we wrap up our time together, I'd like you to expand on it a little bit.
Dave, I'd love to. And what I'd like to share is that for true believers, joy is found in giving ourselves over to the Lord completely and thus serving Him in that context. And we see this truth clearly demonstrated in the Word of God. Indeed, Jesus said, he who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Well, the world has a completely different idea of joy and happiness,
But what we see in Scripture is that true joy only comes through a right relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, are you experiencing true joy? Well, the only way you can is to have come to Jesus Christ for salvation and then to abide and live your life for Him.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.